Do you remember when you were unsaved and the last place that you would want to be was stuck in a church service? The idea of coming to the place of prayer and worship, well, it was foreign to your heart. You were not interested at all. Neither was I. And yet the day the Lord saved us and brought us to an understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is and what He has done for us in our hearts, well, that changed everything. And now there's a desire to be in the place of worship, a desire, a longing to be in the house of prayer because of God's love to us. Oh, the gift of amazing love of the Lord to our hearts. We're going to be singing about that this morning in our opening hymn, number 417. Behold the amazing gift of love the Father hath bestowed on us, the sinful sons of God, to call us the sons of men, to call us the sons of God. Let's stand, please, as we worship the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, as we come to pray and seek the Lord this morning, we want to remember some who are grieving at this time. Sister Joan just shared with me the loss of a dear nephew that she has known for a long, long time. And also we want to think about our sister Tabitha Shratty. Tabitha is a friend of Sandy and Udi, and she learned just last Thursday very suddenly that her mother, 62 years of age, passed away in India, and so she had to take an emergency flight home that night. Tabitha was here studying on an education visa, and not just sure when she's going to be able to come back again, but we want to remember her in prayer, please, today, that she will know the comfort of the Lord at this time. Now let's seek Him now, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, we come this morning at the beginning of a new Lord's Day. And Father, we are thankful from the depth of our heart for the privilege we have of being here, for the grace that has been given to us so abundantly this past week. Lord, we have known daily the mercies and kindness and love of God to us. And as we begin this new week, we do so in the house of prayer and worship. And we want, Lord, to offer from our hearts, those of us who are saved, thanksgiving, Father, for the very desire that we have to be in the place of prayer and to be in the place of worship this morning. This is not something, Lord, that we have conjured up in our mind. It's not something that we have developed or grown into. We're thankful for sovereign grace today. Thankful, Lord, that we have been brought out of darkness and into the light of life. And we're thankful for the love that we've been singing about this morning, the love that drew salvation's plan, a love, Father, that you have given to us so freely and fully. Dear Father, I pray that this morning you would come near and comfort the hearts of those that are grieving. We pray for our sister Joan this morning that she would know the peace and the blessing of God upon her heart. And we think of Tabitha. And Lord, though we have not known her very long, we've been so thankful to have had her in the fellowship here and be with her now and bless her in the loss of her mother as she's grieving her heart. We pray, Lord, that in her family back in India, they would know your presence and help at this time. Be with us, Lord, and many changing scenes of life and our circumstances will alter from day to day. And there are others who have lost loved ones recently, and they are still suffering the pain and the anguish of this. Comfort and be with them. Remember the sick ones in our congregation. Lord, we pray for your blessing, your hand of healing, your touch of grace poured out upon them to be able to bear up under the circumstances of the hour and the time. Lord, we bring all of our families in our congregation toward you today, and we pray for household salvation. We ask for the restoration, Father, of those that have wandered off, perhaps cold in heart. And we ask, Lord, that there would be a pouring out of grace upon every circumstance, every situation. We pray that the devil would be defeated in how he attempts to tear the family apart. Lord, we're thankful that as you said to Peter, Lord, you would say to us, though Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, I have prayed for you. And Lord, we're thankful for the intercession of our Lord Jesus this morning on our behalf. For he ever lives to make intercession for us. And dear Father, we are looking and waiting with expectation for our Savior's return. Let us lift up our eyes, for our redemption draws nigh. We would say as John did, even so, Lord, come quickly. For this world is reeling in sin and wickedness. It is broken and fractured in so many ways. Oh God, we need the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the church of Christ so that we might be lights to shine, that we might be those messengers of healing. Lord, make use of us. We often pray and pray again. We want to be soul winners for Christ. And therefore, we ask, Lord, that you would make use of us. Use us in our testimonies. Use us as we meet people in the street or our neighbors within the family. And Lord, use us to point men and women to Christ. Bless the witness of this congregation, this church. Bless us here at the corner of Nielsen and Finch in Scarborough. Bless us in the community of Malvern. And we pray the fear of God would descend upon this place and that those who are bent on evil would come under strong conviction of sin. And Lord, they would be brought to cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" Lord, use us in the outreach efforts that we have as a congregation. But Lord, use us individually. Hear our prayer today. Remember our nation. We stand, Lord, in great need of your intervention. Our government, our politicians need help. Lord, they need to be saved by your grace, but they need to be restrained from their evil ways and blessed to do that which is right and true and honorable and just and good. And Lord, we pray that all agencies and all who have an agenda for wickedness and evil, that Lord, they would be hindered and stopped in their tracks, and that you would allow us, Father, to promote the gospel, and it will go forward each day that you give us life. So, Father, hear us today. And Lord, as we, at the end of our service, will meet around your table, we pray again for a great awareness of our Savior with us, and that we would be brought again to consider the depth of Calvary, the depth of love, the depth of sacrifice our Lord Jesus did on our account. So hear our prayer today, Lord. Bless us. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's continue, please, in our worship. Number 336, the King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. We'll stand as we worship. Now, please turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 3. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, the red pew Bibles in front of you, make use of them. John's Gospel, the fourth book of the New Testament. We're reading at chapter 3. Picking up at verse 14, the context, of course, is the account of Nicodemus coming to the Lord, who was a ruler of the Jews. He came by night. He wanted to find out and ask the Lord some questions. And the Savior quickly turned the questions that he had, directed it right to his heart, and told him that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And how important that word is. Now at verse 14, Jesus is speaking. He said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought of God." We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts today. And as we have thought and read on this portion containing the most well-known verse in all the Bible of John 3:16, and how it speaks of the love of the Father toward sinners, toward you, toward me, and we have received of that love as we have received our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and our King. And friend, if you're here today, or if you're listening online, and you have not come to that point where you have trusted the Lord as your Savior, well, I appeal to you this morning, and I ask you to look to Him and call upon Him and repent of your sin, and you will find Him to be a loving Savior who willingly and openly receives you to Himself. Well, let me welcome you all this morning to the Lord's house today. It is very, very good, encouraging to see you here this morning, and we trust that God will richly encourage your heart and by His word and the fellowship we have one with another. You will notice that our table has been set this morning, the Lord's table, and as we come to remember His death in His own appointed way. And if you are a saved person, if you know Christ, then you're welcome to stay with us and remember the Lord's table. You do not have to be a member of our congregation, but you do have to be a member of the body and the church of Christ. And so we invite you to have fellowship with us at this time. We certainly want to say a word of welcome to everyone who's here, and special birthday greetings to our pianist this morning. Happy birthday on the very day for Dana, and we appreciate her work at the piano and all of our services and all of the work that she does behind the scenes. We appreciate that. She, of course, is the secretary of Whitfield Christian Schools, which is her day job in that sense, but the ministry goes far and wide. Dana was really responsible for heading up the men's breakfast, at least being the cook behind the scene and the other helpers that were there. And so we appreciate very much, Dana, the work that you do for the Lord in the house of God and in the place here. I already mentioned about remembering Tabitha, please, in your prayers, do that. And also we're very happy that young Felix came through his surgery last Monday. We were praying for Felix, and he is recovering and recovered well, and so we're thankful. So please, Diana, make sure that Felix knows our prayers have been with and for him. Also, a special word of welcome this morning to Mr. Maher Lewis. And of course, Rhea Maher has been serving as a deacon in our congregation and as a treasurer of our church for many, many years. Last Wednesday evening, we had our annual general meeting and elder election. Well, at the annual general meeting, which, by the way, there are the financial statements on the tables at the back. If you would like to take one when you're leaving today, you're welcome to do that. And we heard reports of the blessings of God upon our congregation, primarily for 2023, and reports from different areas of our ministry. And these are tremendous encouragements for us. We step back. We are a small congregation in the great scheme of the Church of Christ, when you think about it. But how the Lord has blessed us and what He has placed within our hands in order to serve Him has been of the Lord. And we acknowledge and say, thanks be unto God for all of His mercies and kindnesses to us. Well, we also had an election for an elder on Wednesday evening, and Brother Maher Lewis was overwhelmingly voted to serve as an elder in our congregation. And so we're thankful for that, dear brother, and we are praying. I encourage the folks Wednesday night to be sure you're praying for Maher and for Rhea, because, well, the devil is never happy when there is a step forward taken in the Church of Christ, and when a man sets himself to a position like this and willingly has done so, and the congregation has chosen him for that capacity, well, we want to be doubling our prayer for not only our brother Lewis, but also the rest of our elders and our deacons as well. The procedure will go forward in this line, that I have already sent a report to the clerk of the presbytery, and he has received that and acknowledged reception of it from our meeting Wednesday night. And then in our May presbytery coming up in another couple of weeks, well, we will be dealing with this item of business, and the presbytery will ratify that. And what does it mean? Well, it really is part of a check and balance within a local congregation that joins together with other churches that are involved in our denomination. And it's a cause for great rejoicing. It's a cause where the other ministers and elders will come together, and it's on the minute book of the presbytery, and it really marks part of the history of our denomination and of the advancement of the local churches. And that's why it's so exciting. It's a blessed thing, and it's also a helpful thing to be a safeguard. And as men will say, yes, we acknowledge this is of the Lord, and they rejoice together with us, and we are able to move forward. So then after that, we will set an ordination date, and we'll keep you informed about that in the will of the Lord. Please remember our ministry today at 5:50. We have our pre-service prayer time tonight, and we encourage you to be in the prayer meeting. It is in our fellowship room just down the hall here on your right-hand side. And at 6:30 tonight, our evening service, and I'll be back, God willing, to bring you the word of the Lord tonight as well. Next Lord's Day at 9:45, our Bible classes and Sunday school for all ages. And at 10:30 in the morning is our pre-service prayer time that will be downstairs. And then at 11 a.m., Reverend Reggie Cranston will be here in the will of the Lord. Do remember our brother in your prayers as he still battles with the health problems that he has. He retired recently from our Port Hope congregation, but he'll be here, God willing, next Sunday morning. And then Brother McAnally, Jonathan, will be taking the evening service next Lord's Day, and some of the young adults will be participating in the meeting as well. Please remember us as we head down to Mexico for our mission trip and the ordination of three elders in Mexico City, and then visiting some of the other works also in Mexico before heading to Greenville, South Carolina for our presbytery and week of prayer. So much appreciated for your prayers. A little advance announcement for June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're going to be dedicated to a half week of prayer each evening. And on Wednesday evening, a special night will be a baptismal service. And this is always a highlight. We have had two requests for baptism now. And if the Lord has been speaking to you about that matter, well, we encourage you to speak to me, one of the elders, and then we will have time to talk with you about that. That's coming up June the 5th. You will notice a library table out at the back. And let me encourage you, that's a sign-out library. So the instructions there, look at those books, and if you'd like, take a card out, sign it, and then you'll know we have a record of who had. A few weeks ago when the table was set up, people took the books, but they never signed them out. And I heard from the librarian about that right away. And so if you want to not get into any trouble, you need to sign out those books and be sure. Make use of them. They're good reading material for children and for adults as well. Now, don't forget another advance announcement. Next Lord's Day is Mother's Day, so you don't want to forget about that. And I'm sad I'll be away from the church over that time down in Mexico. But nonetheless, the Lord to encourage you and just to encourage you about that. And then the Highland Creek Outreach is going to be on this. It's on the schedule for June the 15th, so a couple of weeks away. And we want to be active in that. Brother Kingsley Jew is heading up that outreach ministry. Those are all the announcements that we have this morning for you. Please pray over all of these ministry that are going on. We don't want to take time, just go through them, and then people fall asleep during the ministry time announcements. But we want you to be praying for all of the activities going on within our church calendar and business and service for the Lord. We'll sing again to the Lord's praise, number 554. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Now let's stand, please, as we sing. Let me ask you to turn now, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 3, and now turning to the Epistle of John. Reading the first 11 verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The Lord bless his word to our hearts at this time. Let's bow, please, and ask for his help. Father, as we still ourselves before the open scripture, I pray that we would have an open heart. I ask, Lord, for strength, wisdom, the understanding to speak the word of God faithfully. And dear Lord, I pray that as the word goes out, it will do so the authority of heaven. That you would be pleased, Lord, to save those who are unsaved, and that each one of us who know Christ would grow in our faith, and that we'd be strengthened and enabled, and that, Lord, you would deepen and broaden our capacity to take in the knowledge of Jesus and his love to us. So hear our prayer today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have gathered from the opening verse of John, 1 John 3 and 1, that we are continuing in our study of the Behold text that we find in the New Testament. And as we started off, there was one in the Old as well. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Love is not always simple to define or to explain. In nature, as we look around and see in the animal kingdom, there is perhaps we could say the appearance of love seen if you were to come between a she-bear and her cub. You would not survive well in that situation. As the female bear protects its young, we see evidences of this and similar situations in nature, but we would probably not describe that so much as love. There would be another word for it. We often smile too as we observe geese paired up during the spring mating season, and you will observe that as one of them is eating, the other one is standing on guard, looking around. Now, geese would probably not be that high on the intelligence scale for mammals, but at the same time, you see something in them that indicates they are together. And also, if one of them is killed, one of them is taken away, the other one seems to be abiding in that area. They will stay around for a time, and it seems they're looking for their mate. There's something in them. What is that? Would you call it love? No, you would refer to it rather as instinct. It is something that God has programmed within the animal kingdom. And it's interesting to watch their habits and to see how they behave. But God definitely has endued humans with a capacity to love. And even though it's difficult to describe and define what love is sometimes, we will look and see the definition of it in the Scripture, in the Word of God, specifically because we have been made as human beings in the image of God. And so all of the language that we have to describe it and the gifts of that communication, love that is seen between a husband and a wife, between a parent and a child, a brother and a sister, between friends and neighbors, between fellow believers in a congregation, we know that there are different kinds of love, but the capacity to express these, it's been given to us by the very God who is defined by love. For we are told by John that God is love. Human love is a gift which has been given to us from the fountain of divine love. And when John writes, both in his gospel and in the epistle about the love of God, it is the highest principle of affection and action that has been revealed that we are able to participate in. And so I want us today, as we think of this opening verse of 1 John 3, that we will consider this great theme today, and we will pray that our hearts will be open to receive, and open to comprehend this truth with grace and with humility and with great thanksgiving. So let me present to you in the first thought today is this. It is a love that is unfathomable. A love that is unfathomable. The word fathom, it comes from a combination of German and Dutch, and the meaning is to have an outstretched arm. And the idea was to be welcoming, and so to greet someone, you had your arms open, and the word was fathom, and we've taken that word into the English language, and of course, over time, what has happened It has come to describe something when someone's arms are wide open, the distance between the tip of your fingers is about 6 feet. And so that's a fathom, is 6 feet. Now, that term also came into use in the sailing in the ocean area, so that a sailor would describe the depth of the ocean by fathoms. And how that came about, well, that's just in the process of time. But what a sailor would do on their vessel, they would have a rope with a weight tied on the end of it, and they would allow the rope to go down. And they would have the rope marked every 6 foot length. So when they get to the bottom and they were able to tell how many fathoms deep it would be. But of course, when they're sailing out in the ocean and they want to find the depth, they'll let their rope down. And they've come to the end of their rope. And the weight has not touched the bottom yet. And so they would describe the ocean depth as unfathomable. It's beyond their measurement tool. And when we think, my dear friends, today of the love of God, of that opening phrase, behold, what manner of love. It is unfathomable for us. We come with the rope that we have to try and measure. We try to put some sort of capacity to think, how great is the love of God? It is beyond us, my friends. Frederick Lehman, in his hymn entitled The Love of God, he wrote this: the wandering child is reconciled by God's beloved Son, the aching soul again made whole and priceless pardon won. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every scribe a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. I can still almost hear the echo of my dad, who used to sing that song. He passed away now since 2011. And I would say to you that he knows now more and more of the depth of God's love, which flows without ceasing for all eternity. My friends, this subject matter, it deserves our earnest consideration. We're told to behold what manner of love. And the word behold, it means to see, to perceive, to have some concept of what we are talking about. And why is it that we are told by John through the Spirit of God to behold the manner of the love of God? Adam Clark, the commentator, wrote, what great love, both as to quantity and quality. And when I read that quotation, I think it sums up what is being talked about here. When we are compelled to behold the love of God toward us, what are we trying to understand? We're trying to understand the quality of this love and we're trying to understand the capacity, the quantity of it. But what are we, the tools that we are using to measure such a thing? Well, we'll have to say it's unfathomable. Do we not often lament, my dear brothers and sisters today, that the love of God is rather foggy in our thinking? It's rather unclear for us. We're trying maybe to understand, to grapple with this great theme of the New Testament, of the Bible. We have experienced the love of God by being saved by the grace of the Lord. We've experienced the love of God in the saving work of Christ on the cross, in the forgiveness of our sins, and the promise that we have of everlasting life. But too often we feel so unworthy. We feel unworthy of His love due to our repeated failures, our unthankfulness, maybe a complaining spirit. Our friends, we all have to look in the mirror when it comes to these things. And this is the very reason why that we are directed to give earnest attention to the reality of the love of God that flows from the God of love. It doesn't bear thinking for a moment that what would happen to us if the Lord was not moved by love toward us, if He had not planned the way of salvation. What would have happened to us? Be thankful that Satan is not in the place of God as the master of our destiny. No, friend, it would not be well for any one of us. If God had been motivated by justice alone and not by love, then we would all be cast off to a lost eternity in hell today. And how are we to give such love the earnest consideration it deserves? How can we do that? Well, I suggest to you that we can do that in the first place, to receive the gift of that love into our own hearts. And I apply this today to anyone who is not a believer this morning. If you are not a Christian and you're wondering, well, the love of God, okay, it's a great subject, it's a vast subject, I can't get to the depth of it, I can't tell the height of it, so how am I supposed to begin to define it? And I say to you, friend, very simply, you must receive the gift of divine love. And the gift of divine love to us is the gift that God has given of His only begotten Son. For He has given Christ to a world that was undeserving and a world that had rejected Him. And yet the love of God is so vast, so great, so deep that He has given His Son, His only begotten Son, to die in our place. And He offers that gift to us. For God so loved the world that He gave. And my dear friends, today He gave His only begotten Son. Have you received that gift? Oh, then once we have received the gift and have been born again of His Spirit, and we now have been changed and brought out of darkness and into light, we have been given a new destiny, we're under new ownership now, then what is it that we will do to augment, to have a greater understanding of the love of God to us? We will begin to delight in His love. And oh, it is so valuable for us as we meditate upon the Lord's word and as we pray and commune with Him, that believer, that we will start off in our prayer time, in our fellowship with God, with delighting in Him and delighting in the love that He has given to us, unworthy as we are. And yet we have received the greatest of gifts. We would pray for its reality to be known in our soul every single day. You see, the more that we delight ourselves in Christ, the more that we delight in Him, in His person and in His work, the more we delight in our Father's great grace in sending His Son to us, all of it is undergirded by His love. And as we dwell upon that truth, our souls will be filled with joy. The melancholy spirit will evaporate from us. The trials and tribulations of life will be put in their context. It doesn't mean they'll all just go away, but they will be put in the right place. We will see that our state before God, our standing of justification, is because God loves us so much that we would learn what it means to delight in His love every day and to walk in the sunlight of that love and to walk in the truth and joy that that love for us is everlasting. Oh, my dear friends, today, have you this morning prayed that reality into your soul? Have you delighted in it this morning? And then what about as believers sharing such undeserved love to others? Is this not what the gospel is all about when we are told to go into all the world and preach the message to all creatures? What are we supposed to talk about? What are we supposed to preach? Well, of course, we're supposed to preach that Christ Jesus came down. And why did He come? Because God's love for this world. When we speak about John 3:16, that whosoever believes in Christ would not perish but have everlasting life, what is the basis of all that? It is the love that God has for a world that is most unlovely, and that we deserve nothing of that. And so, believer, when you think about sharing your testimony and you wonder, I don't want to say anything because somebody might think I'm a bit weird, or I might not have the right words to say, stop for a moment and just begin to tell them about how much God has loved you and what He has done for you. And the Lord will open up your heart. He will open up your voice. And He will open up your communication to simply share, this is what God's done for me. This is what He will do for you. Yes, my dear friends, it deserves our earnest consideration. But further, it deserves our careful calculation. It says, behold, what manner of love. The word manner, it simply means what kind, what type, what quality. We thought about this already a little bit. I don't know about you, but my dad used to be able to do very easily mental mathematics. He was brought up in that age where you didn't have calculators. And so they were taught in school how to do mental math, and he would be far ahead. By the time you got your calculator out and punched in the numbers, the answer would already be there, and most generally speaking. But that mental mathematics, it's a fading art, and it's fading because we've got phones and calculators and things near us, and so we don't really need it. Some calculations, they can afford to be general. You know, if you're thinking about painting a room, you wonder, well, how many gallons of paint am I going to need? And you might think, oh, I've got so many square feet, and you sort of measure it out. And if you don't have enough, you go back and get more paint. If you got too much, you just have extra paint left over. It's not really a big deal. If you are thinking about how much sugar to put in a recipe, it might be okay. It might be a bit not sweet enough or too sweet at the end, but it's not a big deal. Other calculations become more important. Like for a surgeon, how deeply is he going to insert his scalpel? You hope it's not going to come out the other side. You hope he knows enough about that. Or perhaps if the airplane is going to fly over the ocean, have they calculated how much fuel they needed to do this? Because if they got 3/4 of the way, it wouldn't turn out so well for all the passengers. So some things are important to be able to calculate. And yet, friends, when it comes to the subject before us of the love of God, of its greatness, of its vastness, its motivation to undeserving sinners, it compels us to place a higher value on it and to give our deepest thoughts to understand the nature and the expanse of it. Oh, the depth of the riches. Oh, the length and breadth and depth and height of such encompassing love. Who can measure it? And who can understand it? And who is able to fully explain or express its dimensions? No, friends, it deserves our careful calculation, because it deserves our earnest consideration. But does it not deserve our very wide communication? Once we have experienced this grace, and once we have witnessed what God has done to us and for us through His love, can we remain silent, unmoved, or unconcerned? Oh, I pray, friends, that we will be active when we are commanded to go and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the message of the love of God that is to be communicated. It is Calvary's love. It is Christ's sacrificial love. It is the Father's sovereign and electing love to unworthy and rebellious sinners that we are. Do we fear the face of men? Yes, we have to admit that many times we do. When that comes upon us, let's remember that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has commissioned us, and He has sent us out to speak of the wonderful works of God. And when we share all that Christ has done for us, we are sharing that love. And we are sharing what He has done for us. It's true that we love Him because He first loved us. And then we should so willingly tell of that redeeming love to those who do not know it, and who do not have it, and who are on the outside of it. Ah, friends, it is a love that is great. But I want you to notice the second thought today is this. It is a love that is freely given. A love that is freely given. Our text tells us the Father hath bestowed upon us. The Father has given unto us. Now, we know that gifts sometimes are given with strings attached. It's a saying that, well, simply means that when someone gives something, if the strings are attached, it means they're going to be able to pull the gift back if certain conditions are not met, which really means it's not a gift, it's a bribe. It's some other incentive. Even with our best intentions, when we give a gift to someone else, it may be more out of obligation or out of duty or with an expectation of receiving something in return. But when a gift is refused because either the gift or the giver is despised, then it is ingratitude at the highest level. And when we take this to that level of thinking of the love of God to us and the gift of His love to us in giving eternal life, it becomes the greatest example of ingratitude that could ever be on the table. See, the reality is that when an unsaved person is presented with such a gift and it is unwanted, to say nothing of the fact that it is undeserved or unmerited, yet this gift of forgiveness is a gift of salvation and it's a gift of eternal life. And all of this is embraced or encompassed in the love of God, and He has freely given that to us. It is the free gift of His love. And friends, when we think about this, it is something that is from eternity. In the counsel of God in eternity, His love was alive. His love was active. His love was real then for us, far before we were ever on this earth. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, listen to this text. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Friends, stop for a moment and think of the impact of the truth of what Jeremiah has been speaking. God is saying to him, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And oh, the drawing love of Christ to Himself. The drawing love of Christ to salvation. Friends, have you submitted to that today? Have you received that love? Paul takes that theme in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He, the Father, hath chosen us in Him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Friends, the love of God reached to us from eternity. Can we begin to praise the Lord? And when you are having a day that you say is a bad day or a hard time, you think that you have been loved by God from forever? No wonder we cannot fathom the depth of this truth. But my friend, also, this love was sealed on the cross in time. Sealed on the cross in time. And all the plans and all the purposes, and from eternity, as God has purposed to save the unlovely and undeserving, with no merit of our own. And Christ Jesus came down to this sinful world. He came to live for us a perfect life. And He went to the cross, and there He suffered and paid the debt for my sin. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace and the love that brought it down to man. It was sealed on the cross, and all of my sin was placed on Christ, and all of His righteousness was placed upon me. And so today, I am both forgiven of my transgression, and I am granted His righteousness, whereby I'm able to enter into glory. Ah, my friend, this truth and wonder that was sealed on the cross will never be reversed, and it will never be removed. Never reversed, never removed. I wish, and maybe you would say, that every warranty or guarantee that we've ever received would be of such value, but sad to say, many warranties are not of value. But here is one that is not stale dated. It will never come to an end. God's love for us and the merit of Calvary will never come to an end. Ah, friend, today, if you know Him, then be standing in wonder, beholding the manner of love that God has given to us. And if you are out of Christ this morning, I pray that you will seek Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and that you will confess your sin to Him. You will find that His arms are actually fathom. They are open to receive you. And how wide is that measurement? You cannot measure it. I pray that you will receive Him today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, take this holy word that you have given to us from John's epistle, written by the Spirit of God, given to us of truth that is not going to ever wear out. I pray, Lord, today that the Holy Spirit would do that convicting and converting work in every heart. Lord, hear our prayer today. And as we bring our service to a close, and as we go to our time of communion, Lord, we will know your continued hand upon us. Hear our prayer, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close this service by singing hymn number 407. And friend, if the Lord's been speaking to your heart and you want to know further answers or you have questions, then I encourage you to either wait behind after the service or perhaps contact us later. Be happy to speak with you and to show you from the Word of God how you can know the joy of sins forgiven and of knowing that love of God in your heart. If you're not staying for communion, please feel free to leave any time during the time we're singing, and then we'll be settled down as we come to the end. 407, we'll stand to sing.